In the beginning, a floppy-fringed Tory tool called Boris shouted at a reporter, and it was comical.
Hello and welcome to, that was probably a really loud hello in people's headphones, so I do apologise if you're listening to the podcast. Right off the bat, I'm apologising for having deafened you, but hello, this is episode 89 of Fundamentally Flawed. Obviously, I'm Alex Botton. I'm joined, as usual, by Mark down in Devon.
I got it right.
Yes.
Hello, Alex.
Hello, and how's Devon today?
It was sunny, but as soon as I started this, it's gone cloudy.
I've heard a rumor that Devon is a place on Earth.
I thought it was a sandwich topping, isn't it?
It's the exact opposite of Hull. So, we've started already. And down in Australia is Peter. How are you doing, Peter?
Good, thank you. Good. How are you all, Alex, Mark?
We're good. And how is Australia today?
Well, interestingly enough, we're still in the grips of summer here, even though it's theoretically autumn, but it was 30 degrees here today, so it's not cooling down.
We don't have seasons anymore, do we?
Microphone.
And yet again, the listeners will no doubt have noticed, so far there's no gym. Again. Yeah, we organise the podcast. We use a messaging group in Skype and one on Facebook. We organise the podcast. Jim says, "Oh yeah, yeah, definitely there. Oh, it'll be fine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. 12 o'clock. Yeah, sounds good to me." Says Jim, quoting him exactly yesterday.
Yes.
No sign of him. I've tried phoning him. So he may turn up later on. Maybe I'll send him a little text and I'll tell him we've started. Jump in when you're ready. So this is going to make gripping audio while I do this. So I'm going to talk while I do it. So it's been a good week for stuff. So okay, I'm going to have to concentrate on this. So I say we've started.
Yeah.
Jump in when you wake up.
Kiss.
Wake.
Put the doctor at the end.
I've now put a capital A in wake. Thanks. Do you want me to put a dog turd in? I'm not putting a dog turd on it. The little shit in my cheeks.
He's from the north, don't worry.
So when he comes in, Jim will join us, hopefully. And if he doesn't, you will hear his voice throughout the show. Firstly, you'll hear his voice in a moment when he introduces the news headlines, which for some reason is a title for that section that seems just stuck. Not sure why. But anyway... Here's the sting for the news headlines, and after the sting, we'll talk about a few things that have happened in the world this week. So, here's the sting.
And now, the fundamentally flawed news headlines.
So, this week, what has happened in the world? Well, Peter, before we started, you mentioned that Greenland was melting.
Melting. At a rate of knots. A lot faster than anybody thought it would. So it's not good. March was apparently the hottest March on record ever. And I've just got off Twitter arguing with some stupid moron who denies it climate changing at all. Oh, so it's been pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And he was a Christian, no doubt.
Of course.
One of these creationists. Yeah. So Greenland at this rate, they reckon probably 30 or 40 years, there'll be no ice left on it at all.
Fuck
yeah. I'm not sure whether you guys have got it, but there's this amazing website. Oh, no, it's only for Australia, sorry. It comes out and you can just click on what city you're in, where you are, if you live near the coast, and it allows you to tell, it shows you what the water level is going to be like in 10, 20, 30, 40, 100 years' time and where your real estate's going to be under water or not.
Yeah, there's something similar here.
Yeah,
you can look them up online, Mark. It's just kind of like coastline projection kind of websites.
Yeah.
The Midlands, where I live, are fine. So I'll be on the coast.
Oh, yeah, You're all right. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I've got to move to the hills.
Yeah, apparently, according to this, it's 12% of the Greenland ice sheet was melting early this year. The previous record was in 2010 when 10% of the ice sheet was melting in May. Now, the thing about this as well, it's research from NASA has suggested that it could be redistributing the water. I'm reading this off the website, which is why suddenly I'm talking in a way that seems coherent. It's redistributing the water enough to affect changes in the Earth's axial rotation.
Yeah, it is. The Earth's wobble, the magnetic North Pole, which was drifting towards Canada, I believe, has now stopped and is moving in the opposite direction, more towards England. It's going to end up somewhere around Scotland in about 20 or 30 years.
Nice.
Because of the change in mass that's been caused by the shift of ice.
So, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. So you guys are going to be the North Pole soon.
Yeah. Fabulous. So that's been happening. That's kind of terrible news for me. I'm laughing, but it's awful news.
Let's start on a donor. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go to an upper.
It's going to take a while.
No. The funny thing is, in the I don't know if any of you read the Mars trilogy by Kim Stanley Robinson. In that, there's a kind of crisis on Earth when global warming causes the I can never remember which one it is. South Pole, Antarctic. Is that the one?
Yeah.
When the Antarctic ice shelf collapses just because of global warming, and it causes immediate water rising around the world. It causes this kind of global crisis. And whenever I hear about these things happening, I always think of that and think, I'm starting to think that Kim Stanley Robinson has come from the future because he's describing things so accurately. Yeah. And because the books are about going to Mars, and the way what he's described as how to do it is what people are now looking at doing. So, yeah, kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So the other thing that happened in the UK, and I've got a clip for this, is there's this Brexit thing going on, and I think we'll come to the actually discussing that in a moment. But last night was quite interesting. We were watching the TV, Channel 4 News, and they were in Manchester where Boris Johnson, a floppy fringed Tory twat, was giving a talk saying why we should
be kind.
Yeah, to be kind to him. Yeah, saying that. Well, the first funny thing about it was that they were commenting that there weren't many people there. There was only about 200 people at this talk at the old Granada Studios. And they were saying, it's weird, this, because he's such a popular person. It's like, well, not in the north, he isn't. Anywhere outside of London, he's seen as a bell end. But anyway, that's beside the point.
Anywhere outside of the UK, he's seen as a bell end.
Yeah, the further you get away from London, the bigger his bell end status becomes. Yeah. So what happened was he kind of went a bit Trump during this speech, and I started to get a bit annoyed about the reporter there, which is Michael Crick from Channel 4. So what the listeners are going to hear in a moment is a clip of Boris, and this is taken from Channel 4 News last night, a clip of Boris telling the audience to go and have a word with the reporter. So let's hear that.
And they are ever more desperate. Some chap from the media is trying to do his piece to camera. I think, shut up. Can we tell Crick to? Can someone go and interrupt Crick at the back of that? Go. Tell Crick. You can do your piece to camera when I finish.
Then after that, what happened is this that you're going to hear, where the reporter is interrupted live on the television. Nick and I were sat watching this last night, almost crying with laughter, because we could see it happening. You could see it coming. You could see the guy walking up behind. It's worth, if you want to see the footage, it's worth Googling Michael Crick, Boris Johnson, because it is, you could tell what's going to happen before Michael Crick even knows what's happening. But yeah, it sounded a bit like this.
In terms of they're going to vote to leave the European Union. One of the interesting little incidents we caught, I'm live on television.
Keep quiet.
Okay.
Well, you're interrupted.
I'm just trying to explain what's going on here.
Well, right. Yeah, so okay. Is he.
Okay. The earlier, the... Excuse me. I was just trying to explain. Okay.
Are you all right?
Yeah, well, I don't even know who Michael Crick is. So
he's had incidents before. I think he was the reporter that got whacked by a UKIP hopeful.
Right.
Because he pointed out that a UKIP document didn't have any black faces in it. Saying about it was all about Britain and the
surprise.
Guy. I think surprise. It the Mark might remember this. It's the guy who is it the a UKIP guy who described Africa as Bongo Bongo Land.
was that the Tory MP who defected?
No, I think is that Carswell or I'm not sure. It's the one. It's one of the idiots. One of the UKIP tools did that.
Yeah. Jeffrey Bloom.
That's the one. Yeah, I think he's the one that called women sluts if they weren't in the kitchen or didn't wear skirts. Or something. He's a disaster, to be honest.
He's a lovely bloke. He's very progressive.
He hit Michael Crick on television. Yeah. He started hitting him with the leaflet. He took the leaflet off him, rolled it up, and started whacking him. So Michael Crick's got history with those kind of people, but I have to say, out of the Channel 4 news, I have mixed feelings towards Channel 4 news because I'd like Jon Snow, not the one that's from Game of Thrones, but I find what's his name, Krishan Guruneethi, can be a bit can be a bit of a dick sometimes. He was quite dickish when he was talking to, because I think it was him that was interviewing Chris Eubank and Chris Eubank Jr. after that fight where the guy ended up in a medically induced coma because of injuries, and I think he was being a bit of a dick about it. But
yeah, he's been a bit of a wet interviewer. He's more of a sycophant. He kisses her arse more than talks about what they're on the bloody show for. And then Jon Snow's brilliant.
And then when he does pick fights, he tends to pick fights with the wrong person.
Yeah.
So he goes after somebody who's actually being reasonable. Like, you know, I remember when Eubank was a boxer, I found him intolerable, but since he's actually become quite a likeable character in the British media, and his son is very, even though I don't agree with boxing as being a good thing at all, his son's quite switched on about the whole thing. So he was quite rude to him and asked him daft questions and stuff. And you know, I think, didn't he make Robert Downey Jr. storm out of an interview?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So that's good. So that's what's been happening in the world this week. That's the news headlines. What else has happened this week? Trump said that the way that the Democrat Party were treating Sanders was similar to the way that the Republicans were treating him.
Yeah, he's claiming he got cheated out of the Colorado nomination or delegates, whatever they do over there. Then it turned around that they didn't cheat him at all, but no, he's acting like a 12-year-old. In fact, funny you should say that. I've got some really – I dug up all these quotes that were going that during the week of things that have happened, and one of them was about Trump. This is a conservative radio host now turning on him, apparently. And they're saying this is when, you know, he tweeted an unflattering photo of Senator Ted Cruz's wife. And was carrying on about that. And they're saying, I expect that from a 12-year-old bully on a playground, not someone who wants to hold the office that was held by Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, well, that's what's happening. His attitude is just childish at best.
Oh, it is. Because
the whole thing. He started with the whole, well, he started it, didn't he? So he actually used that as an answer. Well, he started it. Yeah. It's like, God, you want to be president of the United States and you're using that as your reasoning for being a dick. When he started
can you just imagine Donald Trump going to meet Vladimir Putin?
Oh, he likes Vladimir.
Can you just picture that in your head?
He likes it.
Not real. God's sake.
I know, to address the United Nations, we've got the American president, Donald Trump. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, the Republican Party is tearing their hair out, or Donald Trump's hair or wig. They must be thinking, what the fuck have we done? How are we going to fix this?
Well, they created the monster. They created
exactly,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even think of the names of any of the candidates.
There's Ted Cruz, who's a terrifying
one left.
Yeah, he's a terrifying dominionist. So.
Yeah, yeah. John Kasich is still in the race, even though he's only got one state that's actually backed him. But I think he's staying in, hopefully, because he's hoping to make it to the congressional conference when they have it. Yeah, and if he can make it to there and hasn't dropped out by then, I suspect that the GOP party are going to try and parachute him into the bloody into the nomination because he's the only one left that's got even vague
you know, vaguely looks sensible. I mean, no, they hate Cruz. Cruz is as popular as a dog turd in a bloody elevator, and
well, Cruz is a nutcase. I mean, he's said he'd repeal Obamacare. Yeah. He says that he'll build a wall as well. He's just he's thinking the same things and worse than Trump is, but he's just not saying them out loud.
He's far more religious than Trump, which in my opinion makes him worse. But
I was talking about this with Nick this morning, that it the way that American politics are going at the moment, it reminds me a little bit of that book Christian Nation, where a Christian theocracy happens in the UK. Also in the US. It also reminds me a little bit of that book by Sinclair Lewis, It Can't Happen Here, written in 1935, just before the Second World War, and incredibly prescient about the rise of fascism in the States in that book. Thoroughly recommend it. If people haven't read It Can't Happen Here by Sinclair Lewis, go out and read it, because it's a tremendous book. There's audiobook versions of it available as well, and it's well worth your time. And it reminds me a little bit of, you know, where what would lead to The Handmaid's Tale being true. You know, it's like, oh, my God. You know, so, yeah. But on the other side of the coin is what's happening with the Democrats. There's an increased complaint that it seems to be stacked against Bernie. He's won...
Of course it is.
8 out of the last 9 states. He won... was it Wyoming? He won it on the popular vote, but then the delegates have gone to Hillary.
The superdelegates.
Hmm.
The superdelegates get to call the shots. Their vote counts for 4 or 5 of every other delegate, and they've been told they have to vote for Hillary, basically. So it's pretty much the Democratic Party is lining up to make sure that Hillary gets it, and she will get it. There's no doubt about it. Even though, you see, the last 6 or 7 states that Sanders has won have all been very small states, so they don't the number of delegates they have, even though he's won the state, is not a lot of delegates compared to California, New York, the big states where there's a lot of people and a lot of delegates. And they're all going to, you know, they'll all go, if they haven't already, with Clinton. And so it's pretty much a slam dunk that Clinton's going to get it. Although, you've got to admit, Sanders is really putting the wind up him. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is...
Because he's a socialist. That scares the fuck out of the Americans. Just the word socialism, they can't comprehend it. It's a word that they just oh no, he's a communist, you know, and it's crazy. Because over here he's a socialist,
same here. It's like, yeah, that's all fine. Yeah, we have no problems with that. The thing that's interesting, though, is I think it's the Rasmussen poll that they've used that has been correct for the last 40 years. The thing that kind of always predicts who the president's going to be, and they've not got it wrong for the last 40 years. And they were calling it for Bernie 6 months ago. So there might still be a turnaround, because they maybe know something we don't.
It's possible. It is possible he can still knock Clinton off. But the Democratic Party have themselves are not. They're fighting tooth and nail to not let that happen.
Yeah.
So if they pull the dirty tricks, which they're all capable of pulling, they'll make sure when come time that when they decide that he won't get it, come hell or high water, he won't get it. I don't know what dirty trick they can pull out of the bag to do it, but I'm pretty sure that the machinery is in place to make sure Hillary gets it.
There might be the thing that might happen is something might come out about Hillary in the meantime that could really scupper it.
I guess.
It's because a lot of the stuff about the Panama Papers, the American side of it, doesn't seem to have come out at all yet. And apparently that's still to come. So that might... You know, there's still plenty of time for her to be completely scuppered. I mean, it might happen that... I mean, I think New York's going to be interesting because obviously she's the governor of New York. And
yeah, but see, Sanders is from New
York.
And
he's from New York,
and so is Trump.
I think it's going to be an interesting one. I think we might see... Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw an upset for Hillary in New York. If the people of New York decided, well, we're going to go with the New Yorker, not with the person who's coming from outside. And you know, if Bernie wins New York, then that could change things
a lot. That's big.
Yeah.
That could definitely change things. Absolutely it will. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And they might end up getting to the Democrat conference with it being contested as well. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
I think a socialist is the best thing that could ever happen to America. But I just can't in my head. I just can't wrap my head around a socialist being elected in America. It's just wow.
Well, it'd be good. Mind-boggling. I mean, if that happened there, and we got Jeremy Corbyn over here, good times. might get to save the world a little bit. So anyway, that's the news headlines and stuff. As you've heard last week, everybody, we now have adverts and little idents. So the first one of those today is slightly different, and we're coming up on the hour. And next up, it's Thought for the Day.
And now on Radio FF, it's time for Meaningless Sanctimonious Thought for the Day with Father Michael Boyfinger.
Come in, my child, for the spirits are 70% proof. In these troubled financial times, one is constantly reminded about the Daily Mail landing on our nation's doormat. And we hold up a mirror to ever higher electricity bills, express credit card payments, and random PayPal withdrawals of £3.99 from our bank account for things we don't remember buying on eBay. Last week, I received a letter from a Mrs. Ford Mondeo from the picturesque village of Port Clarence in the seaside town of Middlesbrough. Mrs. Mondeo told me a heartbreaking story about her struggle to feed her 18 children on just £600 per week in child tax credits, and her pitiful £300 per week state disability benefit. And you know, in a funny way, Jesus is a bit like state benefits. He gives himself to us without question, and in return, all he asks is that we provide weekly evidence of seeking meaningful employment as a manual labourer, despite the fact that we can barely get off the settee. God sees our struggles, and despite that, as an omnipotent being, he could make all of them go away, instead, he tests our resolve. He knows that no matter what life throws at us, we are strong enough to carry on, because the human spirit is made stronger by his presence. And so I say to Mrs. Mondeo that even though I think I nearly lost it a bit back there with the thing about the settee, never lose sight of how lucky you are. For your struggles, in comparison to those less fortunate than yourself, are of absolutely no significance whatsoever to those of us who attended Eton or Harrow. Next week, I'll be speaking in a calm and soothing voice about the contentious issue of abortion and how women in Ireland are definitely going to burn forever in hell for the sin of being raped by sinister cunts like me. Until then, this has been Meaningless Sanctimonious Thought for the Day with me, Father Michael Boyfinger.
Bangladeshi, the Bangladeshi atheist murders. We touched on this briefly last week. We did say we'd come back to it. Unlike previous episodes of Fundamentally Flawed, where we say we'd do that and then never mention it again, we have come back to it. Peter, do you want to take a lead on this?
Yes, and before I do, we have a correction to make.
Oh, yes.
Last week, I called gravity waves. And we were corrected on this by some nice character on YouTube, whose name escapes me.
And I would like to say, yes, they are not gravity waves, they're gravitational waves.
You see, and that's what we do. Yes. A lot of podcasts won't do that.
Yes.
But we'll...
Yes. There is a difference.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, I'm not going to explain what the difference is, but there is a difference. Anyway, so back to good old... So back to good old Bangladesh, which George Harrison some time ago went to great pains to try and get set right, but unfortunately it didn't work. There's been a spate of atheist bloggers being assassinated, basically, in the last year or two. And it appears that just last week or a week or so ago, a bloke by the name of Nazimuddin Samad, 28, a law student at Jagannath University, was walking down a Dhaka street with a friend on a Wednesday evening when a trio of men approached on a motorbike and attacked him with machetes. And as the Samad lay on the ground, his attackers shot him before fleeing. So they
and it's been a thing that's been a thing that's been happening a lot. I mean, it's actually I did a video about this a little while ago, well before the podcast came back. And there's horrifying photographs of these things happening. There's one particular one that I remember, and I can't remember which guy it was because the list has just got so long. But there's this awful photograph of the guy on the ground with his wife standing over him with blood on her hands, trying to shouting for people to help. And he's just been, like, attacked with machetes. Machetes seem to be the weapon of favour here.
Well, they are. In Asia, they're pretty popular things, yeah.
This is the thing that's got to the point. It's actually got its own Wikipedia page about these now. There's actually a Wikipedia page called Attacks on Secularists in Bangladesh. So,
He was the sixth... such assassination since February 2015.
It's crazy. I'll tell you the names of the people who have been killed. I'm going to mispronounce all of these, no doubt, so I apologise in advance. There's Asif Mohuddin, Ahmed Rajib Haider, Sunya Rahman, Shafiul Islam, Avjit Roy. Now, I think it was Avjit Roy was the one that used the photographs are available of him and his wife. I think he was an American citizen or something and had gone back there and was killed. This one's going to be difficult. Oya Secure Rahman, Ananta Bijoy Das, Nilo Neal, Faisal Arifin Dipan, and Nazimuddin Samad. Earlier attacks were on Taslima Nazrin, Samsur Rahman, and Humayun Azad. Now, all those people... attacked, either injured or killed, because they didn't believe what other people believed and actually had the guts to say. So when Christians complain about having a hard time in America, which is something we'll come back to, they really need to look, and they could say, oh, the atheists are all out to kill us. They actually need to look at the truth of the matter, is that where people are actually getting killed. Unless it's the religious killing each other, it tends to be atheists being killed by... not by actual believers, which is a bit extreme, to say the least.
Now, an interesting take on this was pretty much immediately Al-Qaeda took credit for it. And then, of course, because they're feeling a little bit neglected by ISIS, obviously, and so they want to, you know, up their presence a little bit. And then pretty much immediately after that, the Dhaka police chief came out and said, nah, it wasn't Al-Qaeda. It was some other guy. We know who it was. So, poor old Al-Qaeda.
Did you ever think you'd say that phrase, poor old Al-Qaeda?
They're not actually going to arrest them.
They're not going to arrest them. No, that won't happen.
Is this Islamist terrorism?
Well, not really. They're not looking at it as terrorism over there. They look at it as the guy was an apostate, and that's perfectly legitimate to kill apostates. And interestingly enough, I've just found an article by a female atheist blogger in Bangladesh who is writing saying, I'm an outspoken ex-Muslim atheist, feminist and human rights activist from Bangladesh. You know, she goes and gives her name, sillily enough, but anyway, and I don't know if I'll be able to fully express the current situation for atheists like me in Bangladesh, but every moment of my life... passes with constant fear of rape and death. Islamic extremists could break into my house and kill me at any moment. And she just goes on and on. And she, yeah, and she says that it's no point complaining to the police because apparently the law in Bangladesh is against the atheists. It's against the law to be an atheist. And so,
I saw something was going through their law court in Bangladesh. That they're going to try and change the law, but they've been trying to do it for like 30 years because it's a secular society, apparently. But all the Islamists are running the show, more or anything. But how secure is your, or how good is your God where you've got to kill bloggers?
Well, how great is your religion? I mean, unbelievable.
Well, this is a typical thing of the kind of the extremist religious people is that, oddly, even though they're the most extremist and would claim that they're the most faithful and stuff, they seem to have the least confidence in their God to fight his own battles.
Yeah. So anyway, this female blogger goes on to say, "Now, my English-speaking Muslim friends and relatives want to kill me unless I convert back to Islam. Some Muslims want to report my name to the police so that the government can punish me for leaving Islam. According to my Muslim community, I have committed blasphemy, hence I deserve the cruelest punishment. I cannot even report threats to the police in Bangladesh. The police will arrest me for the grave crime of insulting Islam instead of arresting the extremists." And apparently Section 57 of the 2006 Information and Communication Technology Act, she could end up in jail for 14 years for the crime of hurting the religious sentiments of Muslims.
Let's not forget...
I want to know what... wonder what US theocracy will look like. Yeah. Hello, Bangladesh.
Yeah. The thing is, though, you get the feeling from some of the kind of Christian fundies that we have encountered over the years that they'd actually welcome that. I think they'd be over the moon to see that happen.
Yeah, they want... I have not met one who's a lunatic who thinks that biblical law should trump everything.
It's a really
scary thought. Yeah. Very scary.
Indeed.
Yeah, they do realise how silly that is, but this is just mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Now, on top of that, I've done a bit of research here. There's the American right wing, of course, have gone apeshit over this. From Breitbart News, which you should never take anything they say seriously at all, they've kind of exaggerated this a little. they've gone on to say that I can't bring up. There's been 45 attacks since February 2015, where the real number is 6. So they've really gone a little bit over it, but they're saying that the Islamic State are moving in, are going to take over Bangladesh. Where a string of lynchings of secular bloggers indicate popular support for Sharia law. So they're predicting doom and gloom and the end of the world for Indian subcontinent over this.
Well, this is the thing, though. I mean, I get the feeling that Breitbart is quite kind of, they will pander to the religious right in the States. And the religious right in the States have to feel at all times that the apocalypse is due any second.
Oh, of course.
That is part of their thing. It's essential, it's a core belief of fundamentalist Christianity that Jesus is due any second because the world's going to shit. When the fact is that the world's actually slightly better than it was, and it's certainly better than it was 200 years ago.
Well, it's getting improving all the time. Yeah. What they call it, the arc of history is always on the up. It's improving.
I mean,
look, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, we had polio and all sorts of odd diseases, and which you never hear of now. And medical science. You could die of things that nowadays you'd laugh at. And 150 years ago. you would be lucky to live past like 30, 40. Yeah. 250 years ago, it was not uncommon to have an army march through your local village and rape and kill everybody every 6 months. So,
and that's not even considering the fact that less than a century ago, we had two world wars. So
yes.
Things are better. The writer Steven Pinker has made this point that at no other point in history are we less likely to die of disease or being killed in a war.
Exactly so, right. Yeah.
And we live longer. And the other thing that's really interesting about this is that not only do we live longer, but if you notice it, you look at people in their 40s and 50s now, and photographs of people in their 40s and 50s 30, 40, 50 years ago, and they look old. I mean, Roger Moore in which movie was it? It was in one of the later Bond movies that he was in. He was 41. He looked about 60. People age slower now. They, you know, we're healthier for longer. So that it does. So the reality of the world doesn't fit really into the apocalyptic narrative that the right wingers would like. And oddly enough, the things that could cause us all to go up shit creek, like global warming and stuff, they deny it's even happening.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
They have to make stuff up now to fit into their talking points. It's just insane. But they have to go and make themselves feel very oppressed and very persecuted. And
that brings us very neatly onto our next topic, but we'll come back to that after these words from our sponsor.
Is this you?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Time out. Are you serious? This is total bull stuff. I've taken ownership of something that is rightfully mine, and I can't get into it. I don't know who to ask for help.
Then the GLM Lock Wrench 9000 opening tool is for you. Forged from the strongest metal known to man, steel. The GLM Lock Wrench 9000 opening tool is guaranteed to peel back the protective sleeve of any safe house, place of business, or automobile. Don't let the security of others stand in the way of what is rightfully yours. Buy the GLM Lock Wrench 9000 opening tool today. The GLM Lock Wrench 9000 opening tool. You'll feel like your prayers have been answered.
Available now from K. Jones Hardware, Jersey City, Jersey. Buy two and get a custom decorated cap.
And we're back. So, yeah, as Peter rightly brought up. Continue the thought, Peter. The persecution porn.
The right-wing Christian nut jobs in America have got very little to complain about, and so they have to go and find stuff to complain about. They have to make stuff up, and of course, part of their narrative is that they're persecuted. And even though the Christians make up something like 80% of the country, and they run everything, there's a church on every corner in America. It's but they have to be persecuted. It's part of their DNA.
Well, it's also biblical that they feel that, you know, they take verses in the Bible, such as the one where, you know, Jesus says, "If you're hated, know first that they hated me." If you're not persecuted, then you're not doing it right, or whatever. They've taken that to mean that you must be persecuted, rather than, you know, you might get a bumpy ride from people being pissed off with you. They seem to think that you have to be persecuted. So they'll go out and try and generate persecution. Because, like you say, Peter, they're living in almost a Christian theocracy as it is. You can't be a minister. You can't get into kind of a political power if you're an admitted atheist. It's just crazy. So then they have to complain about things. They go, "Oh, it's really terrible what's happening," and they've mistaken persecution for allowing other people to have rights.
That's exactly right. When they get the slightest bit of kickback, they're being persecuted because they've been used to having everything their own way.
It's not like big. There's a forum called Evolution versus Creationism, and I love it. And there's a person on there who tried to argue about the Grand Canyon being a flood evidence. Yeah. And she turned around numerous times and says, "I knew I'd be persecuted from my point of view." Well, you're wrong. We're not persecuting you. We're just pointing you out. You're wrong.
Well, yeah. I've heard other fundy nutters from YouTube who I am deliberately not naming here because it will annoy them even more that we don't say who they are. Because of their persecution porn, they feel the need to be persecuted. So if we don't persecute them by naming them, it will drive them mad. But they I've heard them say that they know that if they're getting downvotes on videos and people are criticising them, they're obviously doing God's work because they're being persecuted. And they're just, and all we're doing by telling them they're wrong and idiots is proving them right.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you even get through to a mind that is so broken in that respect?
Yeah.
You can't. There's no point in arguing.
You can't.
It's why I stopped on Twitter. It just drove me to distraction. You can't change it. I mean, look at Peachy. He's still repeating the same stuff. I love reading Pete calling him a twat. It's just so funny watching it. But I just, I've got better things to do with my time than argue with these closed minds people.
Yeah.
I mean, it just shows how open their mind is where it's closed completely. So, and they accuse us of being like that. It's just,
Well, I mean, you know, as listeners and you know, you guys will know, over the last year or so while the podcast was away, or the last 2 years while the podcast was away, I was kind of balls deep in dealing with these nutcases on YouTube. And then I stopped about, coming up about 9 or 10 months ago. And life's so much nicer. Not having to deal with the ridiculous fake dramas that they come up with. I mean, this week contacted me saying, oh, you know, I don't know what your beef with me is, but, and then tried to kind of effectively threaten to drop a load of information about me that was completely wrong. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. What beef? I haven't got a beef with you. and she was like, oh, well, I know what you've been saying about me. It's like, I've not been saying anything. So what am I supposed to have said? And it gets to the point where these guys are just making stuff up that I've said now. Yeah, I once joked that if I was in a coma for a year, I could come round at the end of the year. I'd find out all the things I'd supposedly done through that year. I'd just have to go through YouTube videos and I'd find out all the things I'd done, all the dramas and controversies I'd caused. And I could just piece together my year of unconsciousness, which would be quite good. Yeah, I don't have to do anything. I could just let the fundies make it all up for me. So that's good. At least, but mind you, at least I'm not being killed by rabid Islamists. So.
Exactly.
But yeah, so we'll come back to this topic after these words.
Oh, hi. Yeah. I don't really have anything to say about this. No, really. I'm just a passive observer, you know. But I guess if you have to put a label on it, then my name is Ozymandias III. And I really don't have an opinion about any of this at all. No, really, I'm just a regular guy. I'm your friend. No, I really am. But I would just say something which, you know, fundamentally contradicts something I said not 5 minutes ago. Because, as Femi once said, contrarianism is the wide range of upon which the is firm. So, but I would just be more than happy to say that I'm embarrassed at being called out on my made up as I go along psychopabble, which is conveniently always trails off towards the end of the sentence with a sufficient amount of inspeak that I end up sounding as if I've addressed something which in fact I haven't. But if I'm pressed on the matter and I really do what want to say that G-Man really is a horse fucker. No, seriously, he has sex with horses. He sucks their cocks dry. Like every day, G-Man fucks horses and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with sucking horse cock. Horse cock dry until you're blue in the face. The only time it becomes a problem is when you tell someone else that they shouldn't give mouth relief to donkeys. And here's the thing. I don't think G-Man knows the difference between one of two extant species of Equus ferus and asses, which were first domesticated around 3000 BC, probably in Egypt or Mesopotamia. Therefore, he is in no position to tell other people why they should or shouldn't or have or haven't or will or wouldn't or would or wouldn't or did or didn't or am not about the morality or otherwise of those who do or do not, did or did not, will or will not, should or should not, or indeed the want or want not of the thing that the point is, I just wanted to contradict everything you guys just said, even though I have nothing whatsoever to add. Although, you have to admit, I said it very well.
Ozymandias the Third, bloody nice bloke, bit of a gobshite.
So one of the things that's been coming up with the persecution is the issue of transgender people using toilets.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I saw that.
Yeah.
Now, there's a meme going around. Yeah. There's a little cartoon meme going around at the moment of a picture of a balding man in a mustache going to the toilet, and there's a sign on the door saying women's, and there's a little girl going, why is that man... The bloke's saying, what's wrong with you? Have you never seen a woman before? And the little girl's going, what's going on, mummy? And the mum's saying, oh, no, shush, we can't say the truth anymore. Now, there's several things wrong with this image. Firstly, the toilet that the supposedly transgendered figure is going to isn't in a stall, even though it's a sit-down toilet. So it's just in the room. I've never seen that myself. The other thing about it is that it appears to be outside of the women's toilets, because on the door is the sign for the women's toilets, which is usually on the outside. So, you know, there's a lot going on there, but there seems to be a bit of a mix-up here in the minds of these people. So, the bigoted lunatics don't want people using the toilets of the gender that they have become through... going through,
yes.
You know, what have they gone to change gender? Now, so that means so that if...
apparently you have to use a birth certificate to use a toilet then.
Yeah. But this is the thing. So, but what they don't seem to have worked out is, would they rather that their kids were exposed in... Because, I mean, in women's toilets, as far as I'm aware, you know, and I've not spent much time in women's toilets, but I am under really? The impression that they are all kind of lockable cubicles. I don't think... that women have urinals in the same way as men do. Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners. Write in, tell me below. But my experience of women's toilets is that that's not the case. So I don't know what they think is going to happen. So somebody who looks like a woman goes into the women's toilets, uses the women's toilets, comes out, nobody's any the wiser. But what they're wanting is somebody who has gone through gender reassignment to go into the toilet that they were of the gender they were born as. So this is going to result in... burly men walking into women's toilets with their great big schlongs hanging out and doing a piss. Is that what they want their kids to see? And vice versa, it's going to have women having to go into the men's toilets because they happen to have been born a man 30, 40 years earlier. They've not thought this through. They're saying, oh, we don't want men in our toilets. No. But hang on a second. That's exactly what you're going to get if you insist that people... go in based on their gender. I mean, because there's so many people who are, I mean, certainly you've got female to male. In fact, both ways. It's the surgery nowadays is so good that it's very difficult to tell. And you will have, and the genitals are remodeled and everything. So it's just crazy.
There's been a lot of blowback about it though. In North Carolina, where they just recently passed one of these laws, Bruce Springsteen cancelled all his concerts.
Yeah.
Ringo Starr cancelled all his concerts.
Yeah.
One of the largest porn sites in America, X Hamster, put a block on all North Carolina ISPs. So
And apparently North Carolina is a very heavy porn using state, so they're going to be impeached.
With the best part about it is when you go to that site only from North Carolina, I've seen a screenshot of what you get, because as far as I understand, you can actually just then click through and still use the site, but it comes up saying, you know, they don't support North Carolina's stance on transgender and LGBT whatever, I can never remember the acronym, but they don't support their stance on that. And that they then point out what some of the highest searches from North Carolina are, and gay and transgender come out very, very high.
Yeah.
So not only are they bigots, they're also hypocrites in North Carolina. But yeah, it's an interesting thing. I mean, Mark's just posted something into our side chat that you can't see, listeners. So, Mark, tell us about that.
This is, you're talking about transgender in toilets. There's a college in America, New York City. They're removing all the signs for male and females toilets. That's so you can go anywhere you want to, because it's... it's like Tumblr is coming to society. You talk about gender. Look up cisgender on Tumblr, because according to them... You are born a sex, but your gender is not the same.
Right.
No. This gets really complicated with these snowflakes, because you've got the LGBT rainbow and then all these other snowflakes saying, well, I want a flag as well. I'll be fluid gender. And then so I want another flag. I'll be Capricorn. And you just, this is what's happened to American universities, that they're pandering to these people because someone might be upset who they've not even asked. And it's just, it just drives you to distraction. Now, this is what the world's coming to.
Well, Stephen Fry's.
It's even scarier. These people in 30 years are going to be running the world. That's what's scary.
But I mean, Stephen Fry's got into some stick because of basically saying that people need to stop insisting on having these safe zones and whatever, because it's stifling speech. Now, last week's show, we did mention this briefly, and Mark said something that seemed to offend one of our listeners. Natalie Kirk posted on, I'm hoping she doesn't mind using her name there. If so, I'll just bleep it out, but it's too late now because we used it. But she made a comment that she felt that we were saying about how horrible social justice warriors apparently are, and saying why she was being vocal about feminism. Now, I think she mistook the stance that we were taking for being anti-feminist. I mean, I certainly am not that, and I very clearly said last week that it doesn't make any sense to me, the whole thing at all, and I feel myself as being totally an egalitarian.
Exactly,
I'm not anti-feminist, I just can't stand them. I'm not
in
a blog post for a week replying to her, but it's just taken so long because, unlike her, I actually looked up sources, citations, and I gave specific examples. She didn't reply to any of those, so obviously that's not the thing. But I am writing a blog post to reply to her and about social justice warriors. And you could see the shitstorm they kicked off today, this week again with Stephen Fry, because he said that victims are mostly self-pity and they should grow up. Basically, that's what he said. And I completely agree with him.
It's a difficult situation.
Harden the fuck up.
It is. Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's a fine line to walk because, you know, for some people it is. There's. I think what happens is that people saying, oh, they need... somebody just driven off on a motorbike.
Is that Jim? Was that Jim?
No. that's Jim driving past. I mean, I think the fine line is that I think that people who say they're being triggered by certain words and say they need safe zones in universities and things against ideas that they don't like are belittling people who've actually gone through proper trauma. And I think that's where the line is, because it's they're watering it down means that the people there sort of...
They are.
It's persecution.
They're dumbing it down. You've got these... Yeah, I mean, did you hear about the woman who said she had PTSD on Twitter? Post-traumatic stress disorder. She got that from Twitter, apparently.
Seriously.
You've got to go on... Oh, the internet is just a playground for me. You've got all these people, and you think, hang on, someone might have been really abused as a child. You've heard the word that you don't like, and you're stroking puppies and in a little soft space or something like that.
Yeah.
Grow up! For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Life is frustrating.
Yeah.
As I grew up, I mean, when I grew up, I was I was a right little bastard, but I don't remember. I thought, oh, no, I want to stroke a puppy because I've been triggered.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, it's a difficult thing because I've been called a social justice warrior in the past for making comments that saying, you know what, you can't blame all Muslims for the acts of some. You know, and I've made it very clear that I think that Islam is a particularly kind of regressive religion and that I'm no fan of it at all. But I've said, you know what, you can't blame all Muslims for what the Paris bombers did and for what people did in Belgium. And you can't, you know, to immediately leap to the assumption that kid had made a bomb rather than a clock. I saw just a shitty clock. Yeah. There's no way. When you looked at the scale of the thing, there's no way you could mistake that for a bomb. It was in a pencil case. It was about the size of a fucking phone. It's not made to look like a briefcase.
When I was researching this blog post to reply to her, I looked back at all the Cologne sex attacks. I'm sorry, just a bit of a diversion. I looked back at them all, and it took 4 days for the press to get hold of this story. And it was known to everyone that it was Muslim men, whether they were immigrants or newly arrived or been there for years, it doesn't matter. I think it was Jezebel.com covered it on the 7th of January. They didn't mention Muslim, immigrant, nothing. It was men should be under curfew. That was the headline, and it was men. They didn't mention immigration, migrants, their race, their religion, anything. But you can be damn sure if that was white men and doing it, would been plastered all over the page. It was the people behind it were minimized, and even now the German press are saying that they asked for the word rape to be taken out of the police report. It was minimalized, and the liberals can't argue against a group of people that they're trying to help, because if they go after that group, who's next?
The difficulty.
So they're in this catch 22 situation where they can't mention.
Yeah, the difficulty is with it is that with any group of people, there will be people who are dicks. And just because a group is oppressed doesn't mean that there aren't dicks within that group. The fine line that has to be walked, though, that makes it tricky is that it's very easy for the press and for right-wingers to then hop aboard and say, oh, look, it's all Muslims that have done it. And it isn't. And so there's a lot of nuance which is missed, I think, by both sides. So on one side, you've got to say, oh, you know, it's terrible. They're just rewriting history. And on the other side, you've got to kind of go, right, OK, well, it means that if we go full bore with this, then innocent people are going to suffer from it. So it's a very complicated issue, which I think both sides tend to miss a little bit. And it's become very competitive. I'm completely outside of it, so I don't understand what's going on. From the outside, it just looks ludicrous. The whole thing.
The problem that social justice has is they forget the individual. Mm. They have to have a label to put on a group, whether it's white men, transgender. They have to have a label to put on a group and then focus it. They don't work, and it's like the clones. I know not all Muslims are like that. I'm not that daft or stupid. Mm. But if that was white men, it wouldn't be the individual that was being perpetrated the acts that would be attacked. It would be all white men or all men. That's why they've got to be curfewed. And they collectivize everyone. And it is so infuriating. Well, all men are rapists. Men must be taught not to rape. No, we're not like that. We don't catcall women. We don't abuse them. They're safe to walk the streets. It's only the minority.
Yeah.
But they can't do that. It's collective.
Yeah.
You're all to blame for this problem. And that is the most infuriating thing about it.
Yeah. Well, I've had it from both sides. I've had the wrath of those self-styled social justice warriors called down upon me. And I've had the wrath of the other side calling me a social justice warrior. When I got the wrath of the social justice warriors upon me was a couple of years ago. Saitan Atheist made a video about Bionic Dance. And he made some comment about having a spaz fit in it. Now, I made a video saying that...
Oh, you can't say that.
Yeah, this is it. And I said that whilst this was something that was maybe a little bit close to the bone, you still had to defend somebody's right to be able to say what they wanted. And
yeah, it is.
But that
free speech has gone...
Yeah.
Free speech has gone to shit as long as... If your opinion is... You might have a wrong opinion, you might have a good opinion. It doesn't matter. These fuckers, it doesn't agree with our ideology. You're not allowed to say that. That is triggering. It's sexist or misogynist. well, it doesn't matter that Alex said it and he was just having a joke and a laugh or something like, no, it's triggering and it's very trans-ableist or whatever the fuck it is they're calling it this week. And it is so frustrating to fight against it.
Well, did you hear about that German comedian who made the joke
about
Erdogan?
Yeah. And the Turks have and bloody Merkel has agreed to prosecute the guy because the Turks pressured him.
Yeah. It's been a free speech hell week. It's been all over. But thankfully, they are going to repeal that Penal Code 103, I think it is. They're going to take it off the statute. You can't also insult any head of state.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Well, talking about kind of people being dicks online, that brings us neatly to our final topic, which we'll be talking about right after these words.
Are you tired of spending money on things that work? Do you lack basic critical thinking skills? Thick Shit Industries are actually proud to announce the Ionizer 9000. The Ionizer 9000's patently absurd rubberized healing ring somehow emits positively charged quantum energy, instantly curing a wide range of minor injuries that would probably get better all by themselves.
Sprained thoughts, slight unease, itchy flaky teeth, possessed eyelids, massive ego, garish trousers, xenophobic pubes, being Canadian, stupid dreams,
and a million other imaginary ailments only turd burglars and creationists are dense enough to swallow.
Knackered eyebrows, lethargic wanking, naive opinions, indifferent pets, weird siblings, imbalanced chi, misaligned chakras, quantitative easing, racist footwear.
Order now and get not one, not two, not three, but four, yes four, Ionizer 9000 patently absurd rubberized quantum healing rings. Call 1-800-SCUMBAG, that's 1-800-SCUMBAG, and say goodbye to $300 every month for the rest of your life. Call now, that's an order. Call now or the bitch gets it. The Thick Shit Industries Ionizer 9000.
Maybe he was born a tit. Maybe it's make-believe.
So this week, I got a text from, or a message from Google Plus. I've got to be accurate here, from a friend of the show, Wayne, who said, firstly, he said he liked the show, so thank you, Wayne. And he said, oh, have you looked at this social autopsy thing? And I was like, I had no idea what this was. So I Googled it, and yeah, Mark, do you want to fill us in a bit about this?
Yeah, this was, I saw this by mistake, it's brilliant. A female-only tech startup in America are asking for $75,000 on Kickstarter to create a website where us nasty shitlords will be reported and put on as a profile for everyone to see. So that was their grand idea. So you could anonymously post a screenshot, what could go wrong, of your tweet or your Facebook, and it will go on the website and it will be attached. Your name won't be on there. It will just be your social profile name. What can go wrong?
But they're also wanting to do it so that it starts to actually link to real people, so that it can then be a searchable database, so that employers, potential partners, friends, relatives and stuff can search it to find out who people are and what they're doing online. And it's, again, it's a really complicated issue because on one hand, when you're dealing with some of the most lunatic of lunatics who think that doxing is a good idea, you kind of want to go, look, we need to balance this out a bit and stop you guys doing that. And maybe if they're aware that by doxing somebody, they're going to end up on a database like that, effectively almost giving tacit approval for being doxed themselves. You kind of think, well, there's a certain kind of like mob justice to that, but is that right for me to think that? Because I don't know that it is. And I think that maybe that's a side effect of this increasingly transparent culture that we live in, where we feel that we should have the rights to know what everybody else is doing and who everybody else is. And that's only because we've had that kind of forced upon us by governments over the last 20-odd years, sort of saying, OK, well, yeah, we'll watch everything you do, we'll monitor everything you do. We've got so used to it that when an idea comes along like this, instead of me immediately reacting with revulsion, I've gone, I'm not sure how I feel about that. On one hand, I think it's a good idea, but on the other hand, I don't. I shouldn't be thinking that at all.
My first reaction is, that's crazy. People are going to abuse the fuck out of that.
Yeah. It is. I mean, I can go on Pete's Twitter feed now, press F12 in Chrome, change that text to, I think you were a cock, and screenshot it and send it to them.
Exactly right. Yeah.
I can do that in 10 seconds.
Now, in defense of the website, they are saying that they will look at each case in turn. But if it became something that took off and they were just getting millions of these a day, they wouldn't. They'd just set up an automated system that would go, does it look all right? Yeah. I mean, they might be able to set something up that would look to see if there was any tampering with the screenshot, and possibly that you can pick that kind of thing up to look, you know, if the pixels are in the right place or if there's anything that looks like it's been edited. But
no, it doesn't matter because it's edited on the web page, so you won't be able to tell if it is or not. It's a fucking WordPress website. I'm a WordPress developer. I know how to do WordPress websites. Yeah. And I can bet you that contact form just goes straight into their inbox. There is no citation needed. There's no link to the tweet. There's no link to the Facebook. And they said that, oh, we got dummy data. No, you didn't. If you did a Google search behind, you could see all the information you had in there because someone complained about Miley fucking Cyrus. What? And whose definition of abuse, harassment, and bullying are you going to be using?
That's exactly my point. Where do they draw the line? That's just insane.
You had Anita Sarkeesian complaining about being abused in front of the United Nations, and her idea of abuse was being called "you suck." You've got to be kidding me! Yeah. You've got to be kidding me! Fucking grow a pair of balls. Metaphorically, in some cases, obviously.
I
mean, again, I feel like I'm kind of coming at it from the voice of kind of like being the moderate. And it's a difficult issue. There's a fine line to walk here because we should be able to go about our lives without people posting videos of where we live just because they disagree with us. But by reacting, by doing something similar, that makes you kind of just as bad, I think. And that's this website is basically just meeting doxing with further doxing.
One of the quotes I've got here is, there is a real danger that if we attempt to fight trolls the wrong way, we end up acting like cyber bullies ourselves.
Yeah. You don't become a troll to fight
shit,
a troll.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an open book. None of my stuff is private on the internet. You can look me up on Facebook, Twitter, everywhere you want. Yeah. I don't really care. If you don't want people talking to you, abusing you, turn off comments on your YouTube, make your Twitter feed private, and live in your little fucking hug box away from everyone else who thinks your ideas are shit. I'm going off on one today, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. And when the comments come in, and they will, you can answer them all, Mark.
If I don't get abused by somebody on Twitter every 2 or 3 days, I feel really, you know, left out. I am.
Do you feel like you're not doing your job properly?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So do you actually go out and create persecution, Peter?
Look
what I did there. Profound. There you go, fundamentally flawed. It makes you think. I mean, it's a clusterfuck, the whole thing. There was that app People, wasn't there, that was going to be coming and doing the same thing. It was kind of a Yelp for people, which is where you could go on and rate people. But it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That was even worse.
Isn't that a disaster waiting to happen?
Mm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, rate garages, yes. Rate restaurants, yes. Rate public transport, yes. Rate people, no.
No.
Rate your local nursery, yes. Rate local schools, yes. Rate the local supermarket, yes. Rating people, no. Just no. I could go on, but I can't think of things to say. You can just rate. It's just, it's crazy. It's a crazy.
We've all got our own right to privacy.
Yes.
So, but if you put yourself out there on the internet and you express an opinion, it's the first rule of the internet. Express an opinion, watch the shitstorm. If you can't handle it, stay off the internet.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. As simple as that.
There's actually a really good video. I'm just trying to look it up. There's a YouTube channel. I'm trying to find what it's called. Okay, Kurz Gesagt, the In a Nutshell channel on YouTube, the other day uploaded a very, very good video about terrorism. And in fact, I think it's their most recent one. It's called Safe and Sorry, Terrorism and Mass Surveillance. Their videos are brilliant. They cover science, they cover social issues and things like that. And they've pointed out that mass surveillance hasn't actually stopped any terrorist attacks at all, because the people that have been stopped were already under surveillance. So, you know, it's It's worth looking at that. But I just thought I'd mention that. But as Peter has just correctly pointed out in the side chat, we have now hit an hour, so it's probably time to wrap things up.
You killjoy. I was on a roll then, Chief.
It's late Saturday night here. I've got shows to watch.
Yeah, exactly. We've got to let Peter go.
Yeah, ex-hamster, no doubt, from when you said that.
Yeah.
Which, luckily, listeners, because Peter isn't a bigot living in North Carolina, he can watch.
Yes. So. I can access that. Yes, yeah. I can.
Yeah. You're not going to nag screen whenever you try to. So, okay, well, listen. Well, Jim hasn't joined us, though you have heard his voice throughout the show in various different places. So I guess all that's left to say for this week is a fundamentally flawed goodbye, which we'll come to in a second. But Jim, hopefully, will be back next week. I will drag him here by his toes if I have to. But thank you for listening, and goodbye. Bye-bye.
Bye. 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 Bye.